Thank you for tuning in to Richardson Cove Baptist Church Podcast. We join our weekly broadcast of our Sunday morning worship service.
I want you to think about this, these vines here in relation. Look at the tree. This tree maybe represents us, maybe represents a person, okay? And the vine, I want you to think of that vine as a representation of sin. And you know, that vine is actually a part of the curse. So when Adam and Eve sinned, you know, not only was humanity cursed, but the ground as well. So I want you to think about that vine as being sin. And did you see how it entangled the whole tree? How it had the tree wrapped up in it, right? And he showed the little one first, right? He showed the little one how it was just around a year old. It doesn't look suspicious at all. It looks, you know, just looks like another plant. But those big ones that was wrapped around it, he said one of them was, what, 25 years old, and the other one maybe 45. And they had grown up pretty much with the tree pretty much its whole life, right? And they had entangled themselves, and it was almost to the point where it had become a part of it. Okay, so that's kind of what we want to talk about here this morning, is how sin gets entangled in our lives, and how it's necessary for us to cut it away, to peel it away, to get it out of our lives, because it can bring spiritual death to us, right? For those of us that are saved, it can bring spiritual death to us. And those of us that aren't saved, it has brought death to us, right? Because sin equals death, and the consequences of sin is death. But I want us to really focus on, I wanted us to have a visual of sin today, because in today's society, sin is kind of just looked at as no big deal to a lot of folks anymore, right? I know us as a church, we probably look at sin in a little bit different way than others do, but I think it's creeping into it, just like those vines are, just like that young vine. It can creep in, and if we're not conscious of it, if we don't have our eyes focused upon it, or our eyes where we're aware of it, it's easy for us to get entangled as well. So if you would stand with us, we're gonna look at a little bit of scripture here in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Book of Matthew, chapter number 6, and I'll begin reading at verse number 21. He's got, no, 22, yeah, he's right, I'm wrong. Verse 22. Give you a second to turn there. Scripture says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Father, we thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture, Lord. We thank you, God, that you sent your Son, Lord, to die on that cross, to pay the penalty for our sins, God. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit of promise that comes to us and guides us and leads us into all truth. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would have your way in this service. Bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, most of us here today are pretty familiar with sin. We've seen the consequences of it. We've seen firsthand what it can do. I sure know I have. Whether it's small things, whether it's big things, you know, I've seen firsthand how sin can keep a family apart. How sin can make a mother want to turn away from her children and go choose an addiction, go choose alcohol rather than her children. How sin can make a father leave his family for the act of adultery and make him leave. We've seen how sin can, I've seen this personally, how sin can take a young person, a young teenager, and just out of peer pressure And just out of that small vine of sin entangling on them can ruin that person's life and even kill them, right? And lead to death. We all know, we heard what he said today, we reap what we sow, don't we? And that's exactly kind of what I want to talk about today. I want us to realize, to open our eyes today and how we look at sin. I want us to look at sin a little bit different because, like I said, the way the world looks at it, it's paraded down the streets as something to be proud of, right? It's put all over social media. It's put on there, and our kids are able to look at this and even maybe feel less because they're not a part of it, right? When that shouldn't be the case. We should be able to look at sin and call it what it is, right? And be able to call it what it is and be able to stand up to it. Because Jesus gave us the power to do that. He gave us the ability to do that. He said, we can have an eye right here that he talks about is full of light, or we can have an eye that's full of darkness, right? So to have an eye full of light is to be in that righteous path, right? It's to be to have our eyes upon the Lord, focused upon Him, but to have our eyes in darkness is to have our conscience in a place to where it's focused upon sin and only the pleasures and the lust of the flesh. Because that's how sin is conceived within us. It starts with the eye, right? And it begins with the eye, and then what we see, and then we begin to lust after those things or desire those things, and then what's it do? It entangles us and it webs us just like a spider web. It traps us. So I want to talk a little bit about the characteristics of sin, and maybe how we can notice it, how we can see it coming before it happens and before it gets to be that 45-year-old vine, because once it gets to that point, my friend, it's a little harder to get rid of. It'll take a little more effort. That saw that he was using, he had to work a little bit harder with that, with the bigger one, than it did with the small ones. With the small ones, you can just pluck those right out of the ground, right? Adrian Rogers had a saying that I'll never forget. He said, you can't stop a bird from landing on your head, but you can sure keep it from building a nest on it. And that's a good analogy of what we're trying to get across. See, a bird may fly by, yes, it may land on your head, but you can sure keep it by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. You can sure keep it from building a nest in there. And you can keep the devil from having a place in your life. Because when we allow those vines of sin to entangle in ourselves, that's what we're doing. We're allowing the devil a place in our life. And his characteristics, we think of the characteristics of Christ and how he is, which is love and peace and joy and mercy and all those things that it talks about, the fruit of the Spirit. But the characteristics of Satan and of the devil, it's to destroy us. It's to kill us. It's to destroy our testimony, our walk with God. It's to see us bound up in sin. That's his goal today. The Bible says that he is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. My friend, that doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or if you're 95 years old. He's still out to do that very purpose, that goal. That's his goal. So, I want to turn over to the book of Genesis. We're going to read about one of the things of sin and how it begins and how it starts as that small vine. So, we're going to read in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, verse number 1. He says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. See, he says your eyes shall be opened. What were they open to right here? Well, what did the Lord say back here? Light and darkness. Their eyes were open to darkness. And he says about the serpent, he says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And that word subtle, if you look it up, it's really a compound word. So what I did is I broke that word down. Now, I studied this out quite a long time ago. And sub, you know what a sub is? We had one up here on the stage, remember, for Camp Cove. But sub means from beneath, something that's under something, right? Just like a submarine that's under the water. You can't see it coming unless you've got some kind of sonar, which, hey, if we got the Holy Spirit, we got some sonar, don't we? We got something that'll beep and let us know. But that subtlety, that starting of sin, that serpent, he's so tricky and he's so crafty that you can't really see him coming. Because he's from beneath, he's from under. And that word teal, if you break it down, that's to cover something or to keep something a secret. And if you put those together, that's exactly the way Satan works. Is he'll come from underneath. My friend, he'll come from an angle where you can't really see him. And he'll begin to try to weave his way into our life and to try to weave sin into our life to a point to where it's just like he did with Eve. Oh, it's okay. It's not, you know, as soon as you do this, your eyes are gonna be open. You're gonna benefit from this. This is going to be pleasurable to you. You see how he works? And that's how he fell himself. Because he wanted himself to be lifted up. And that's what he tempted Eve with here. Is he wanted to trick her and to deceive her into that she would become greater than what she was created by God. That she would be a better person by engaging in this. Disobedience to what God had said. And this subtlety is how, it's exactly how sin will creep into our lives today. And it's once it gets started, once it gets there, once that seed of deception gets planted, my friend, it's hard to get it out. It's hard to weed it out. You know, any of you that's worked a garden, you'll work more on the weeds more than you ever will the plants, right? You'll work more on getting all the bad stuff out of it, my friend, before you'll even touch the other plants. So that's the negative side of it, but that's the preparation that we have to take as Christians. We have to prepare ourselves and to look for those things, to have our eyes open, to be looking for that subtlety of the serpent when he comes looking for us. But my friend, when we're on our phones, right? When we're in front of the TV screens, when we're alone by ourselves, when we're out on a date, my friends, we need to be aware of the subtlety of the serpent that's looking to sting us, that's looking to destroy us, because that's his purpose, and that's his goal. Now, our sight is a very important thing of how we see sin and how we recognize it. If we don't have sight, we won't be able to see the subtlety. I want to turn over to the book of 2 Timothy. We're going to read quite a few scriptures. But that's how we learn from the Word of God, comparing Scripture with Scripture. The book of 2 Timothy. In chapter number 2 Timothy chapter number 3, I'm going to just read a couple of verses here. And how this all ties in together. He says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And he goes on with a list of many other things, He says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And I want you to look at verse number 2. I don't know if, yeah, they don't have it up there. Look at verse number 2. He says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. I want to talk about selfishness. So we've looked at our sight, the subtlety, and selfishness. Notice how all these things, everything that he mentioned here as being sin, as far as covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, just all these things follow selfishness. Amen. And that's what Satan was. He was selfish because he said, I will be like the Most High. I will ascend into heaven. My friends, today, if we're going to commit any sin, we'll have to do it being selfish first. Looking at pleasuring ourselves somehow first, or looking at doing something that we think we should be doing instead of what the Word of God teaches or what we know to be true. But selfishness today is what leads to sin. Jesus said, Scripture says, look not on to all the things of yourself, but look unto the others. And he says, even his commandments, right? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and mind. And he said, you do this, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, and all the rest of these, they'll follow after. But selfishness today will entangle us and trap us into that tree that's being weighted down, that's being choked out by the vines of sin. And I'm afraid today that's where a lot of us are today. That's where humanity is. The Bible talks about how in the Old Testament it talks about oak trees and how men these mighty oaks. I don't know. I think Chris may have done a men's breakfast on that one time, but that's the way we're supposed to be as Christians. We're supposed to be these mighty oaks, right? Standing in the midst of the forest for everyone else to see. But once those trees get covered in the vines and in the vines of sin, it's hard to recognize really what they are. And those vines themselves, they'll crawl all the way up to the top, and they'll compete with the tree for the light that it's getting. And it'll eventually overshade that tree and put it in complete darkness. And that thing will eventually die because it can't get the nutrients that it needs. My friend, today if we'll open our eyes and we'll be able to see those small vines that are right here. Friends, I'm telling you, they're all around the base of our trunk. They're all around us. My friend, it's up to us to weed them out. And not only up to us. You know, the Scripture says if you see a brother in a sin, what are we supposed to do? Laugh at him and talk about him? No. But we're supposed to go and speak to him about that and to help him out of it if we can. And if they don't listen, go with another and be witnesses. And I think that's something we miss out on a lot. If we see somebody in a fault and we know it's hurting them and we know that sin is wrapped around them and it's choking them out, it's good for us today to go and help our brother out a little bit. But there is, you know, there is a solution to it, ain't there? There is a solution to sin. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll read one or two verses here. Hebrews chapter 12 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking, there it is. There's that sight again. Here's your eyes full of light. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, when we look at sin, when our eyes are open to it, not only we should see it, we should see the subtlety of it and the selfishness of it, But we should see that the sacrifice that God gave for it.
Amen.
The sacrifice. Do you know that Jesus still to this day bears the marks of our sins in His body? Still to this day. And one day the Bible says the children of Israel will ask, where did these marks come from? Right? See that? There was a cost to remove those vines off of us. There was a cost. It was the blood of Christ. Right? And not only that, that's what freed us from the penalty of sin. That's what freed us from being dragged down, my friend, into the dust of death. That's what freed us. Not only that, we have the Word of God, which was that sharp saw that He used, right?
Yeah,
to cut away and to prune and to remove those things out of our life. We have the Word of God to do that. And that's what the Word of God does. It's like, you know, reading this book, the more I get into this book and the more I read this book, the more we learn of God. But you know what? The more we learn of ourselves as well, right? Because when we open the pages of this book, it's not only us reading the book, but it's the book reading us and telling us who we are. Because you can't go through the New Testament. You can't go through Christ's teaching. You can't go through the Old Testament and it not point out a flaw in your life. And it not point out a time of joy. It not point out something that's personal to you. Because God's Word, listen, it's just not to be proclaimed to the masses, but it is personal.
Amen.
For each and every one of us. And it's help in the time of need, my friend. That's where we go to. That should be our go-to place. My friend, when we get down and pray, we don't have to go to some priest in a box. We don't have to go to any other man, but we can go straight to the throne of God. We have direct access to Him for that help. But He says for us to lay aside that sin which does so easily beset us. And that word beset means to be entangled. To be wrapped up in it. To be hindered by it. It'd be like having a runner being held back by a rope. That would be besetting to him. He can't get to where he's going. He can't move. But he says for us to lay that aside. How do we do that? How do we lay something aside that's maybe been a part of us for so long, that's been entangled in our lives for so long? You know, Job said he would make a covenant with his eyes. Job, he was an old man at this time when he said this. That he himself would make a covenant with his eyes that he would not look upon something that would cause him to sin. And the Bible says that, it says that I shall hide your word in my heart that I may not sin against God. And that's sort of making a covenant with God. I wouldn't say making a promise, but speaking with the Lord in such a way that you're serious about what you're talking about. That we're serious about sin and about our relationship with God. That it's not just something we come to church and just go through the motions, but we actually get real serious about our Christianity, about our living with God. But to lay it aside, I'm gonna read one other place, and then I'm gonna hush. Now this is good for those of us that's saved, been born again by the grace of God. This is good. This is something good for us to know, because once a person gets entangled in that sin, you know, it brings a certain point of shame, I guess you could say. And maybe it's hard to shake that off of you. It's hard to get rid of it. Because maybe you're ashamed of some things you've done, and you're ashamed, and the devil deceives you and wants to keep you held in that place. And he doesn't want you to know the truths of God's Word. and how that He'll never leave us nor forsake us, just like that song said. And that it is impossible for us to be separated by the love of God. That's impossible. It can't happen. You cannot be separated from the love of God. Here in the first book of John, chapter number 5, he says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." The name of the Son of God, that's Jesus, right? If we call upon that name, I'll tell you what, there's power in that name. "That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. If any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that ye shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin unto death." He says, we know, here's what I'm getting at. "We know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." So he says here, whosoever is born of God sinneth not. And what's he talking about? I know the other day Pastor Dave was preaching about us being sealed by the Holy Spirit. And what he's talking about, he that is born of God sinneth not. He's talking about when you're looking up here at me, you're seeing my body. You're seeing Jordan Fox. You're seeing my flesh, right? But what you can't see is my soul, my spirit. You can't see the part of me that's been born of God. You just can't. You don't have the eyes to see it unless God grants you that. You can't see through me and see my spirit. And that's what he's talking about right here. He that is born of God sinneth not. And there is no way, listen, there is no way on God's green earth here that this man that's on the inside, this new birth, the part that's been born of God, there's no possible way that that man can sin. Why? Because he's been sealed by that Holy Spirit. Sin is only something that really, as far as a born-again believer goes, it's only something that the flesh has to deal with. The soul that's been born again, it's not affected by it. It can't be tainted by it. It can't become dirty. Because God's salvation and His plan is so perfect in such a way that we can't mess it up. If it was in a way that we could be touched with sin, then it'd be messed up, right? We would become sinners again. But God has made it in such a way, He's made it perfect, that part of us that's on the inside cannot sin. It's impossible. And if we'll keep that in mind, knowing that our salvation is perfect, it's complete, and it's all wrapped up in Him. Listen, and there's nothing that we can do to mess it up. It'll keep us, my friend, from being ashamed. It'll keep us from not wanting to pull those vines out to get rid of the sin. It'll keep us from that kind of life. And he says, I believe the book of Psalms, it says that, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto your law." My friend, and that right there, well, that'll encourage us and to make us, that should encourage us and want to make us follow the law of God, right? To follow what's righteous and what we know in our hearts to be right and what we know the Scripture has commanded us and taught us to do. So, today I hope we can look at sin as not something that's maybe going to be pleasurable for a minute, but something that's going to be a hindrance to us, that we could have our eyes open and be able to see it coming after us, be aware of it in our lives.
We would like to thank you for joining us. If you would like more information about our church, please visit rcbc.us, and God bless you.